Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. We'd love to visit with you. And, of course, email is just fine. I'm at dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, it's interesting. I had a chance yesterday, late afternoon, to go play a round of golf. Actually, it's one of the kind of a funny thing because one of the fellas I played golf with was played golf on my high school golf team with. Now, he went on to become a professional, so he's actually good. But we hadn't played golf in over 40 years. It's just weird to think like that, you know? It just really is. And it was a super afternoon. But one of the guys in the foursome, and this isn't meant to be a put down at all, it just kind of flashed to me, you know, made the comment that, you know, and he has a bit of a financial background. I've never been worried about the market, but it's just a house of cards. It was a statement, not a question. Statement. It's all just a house of cards. And I realized how many times I hear that every single day. Every day. Every single day. And you hear it on the news, right? You hear it in news reports. House of cards. Market's going down. On the way in, I was listening to Kevin in my recording from Monday. And part of that was people had texted him or emailed or whatever it is they're doing, comments to him about inflation and all the concerns. And this summer, it's coming. And again, it's just one of those things, you hear that and you're going, what in the world? We can't ever just enjoy the fact that the world is opening up and the market is, once again, at all-time highs. I think it's like, I don't know, 25 of them this year alone, all-time highs. Last year, all-time highs. I started in the industry. The Dow is at 800. It's at 35,000 plus now. It just rolls. And it rolls in the face of constant 100% disbelief. Constant. This is what's wrong. That's what's wrong. And then, of course, and I can hear everybody. But this time it's different. Because this, it's all different. All different all the time. Every time. We've never had 21% interest rates. That's right. When I started in the industry, that's what they were. 21.5 prime lending rate. Never been like this. Correct. That's true. Ding, 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 ding. That's correct. The world is not ending, however. Corporations figured out a way to adapt, be profitable, and grow. Interest rates got low. Budget deficits were high. And we were going to go into hyperinflation again. Except we didn't. And this just goes on and on and on, decade after decade after decade. We have presidents defining the word is. It depends on what you mean by the word is. Isn't that weird? It's kind of weird. That was our president. We've had global problems. We've had the world erupting. We had arch enemies in Russia. Apparently we still do. Now we have China. Now we have inflation on the horizon. Now we have a guy that campaigned in a basement is leading the nation. That's a problem, too. But it won't end everything. The problems are real. I'm not denying them. But what I see is denial, honestly, is people keep denying that the market keeps figuring it out. That the world is growing, that the companies that dominate in their industries, their profits are growing. And they're all part of this thing called the market. And what about all those stocks, the meme stocks, the this stock, the Bitcoin, the. I know, it's a sideshow. It's a sideshow, Bob. That's it. It's a sideshow. It's a magician over here having you watch his left hand while everything else is happening over here. It's just a diversion. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's not important what GameStop does. It's important what Google and Facebook and hundreds of other companies are doing every single day to drive profits. Every day. But it's one of those things too. Do you see the good in this relationship, or do you see the bad? Do you go to church and you see what's wrong, or do you see what's right? Do you see what's good in the world, or do you see what's wrong in the world? What filter do you filter everything through? And I know if you're one of those negative filterers, there's plenty of them, right? Zillions of them. You know what it is? We don't work at that, right? It's like nobody wants to be a curmudgeon. Nobody does. It's like, oh, let's go over to Grandpa's house. No, I don't want to. Why? I don't know. He's complaining all the time. Everybody's complaining all the time. Social media, everything. It's nuts. Sometimes I just feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I'm married to this lady that, like, just sees nice things all the time. Happy. She's happy. Nobody's perfect. But it's kind of nice to hang around people that are happy, you know? And I think about that. And again, it's like, well, what does this have to do with economics? Everything. It has everything to do with that, whether you invest money or not. How many people that I talk to are like, I don't know, should we go in now? There are $12 trillion in the world. $12 trillion. Not a billion, not a mere billion. $12 trillion sitting at negative interest rates. Not zero, negative interest rates. Still. You pay money to, just, it's unbelievable to me. We have tens of trillions more willingly, and this is what's really weird, right? It's like, well, I'm really worried about inflation. Oh, okay, so we're going to make sure we make no money on our money. That's a strategy to make sure it shrinks by 5% a year. Perfect. That's genius. That's genius at work there. It makes no sense. And when we think of the world in such a negative way, if that lens is just focused on negativity all the time, we can't invest. We won't. We always see it wrong. Wrong timing, bad time, can't do it right now. There are people, literally, it's like they're coming in to the door going, I can't do this. It's too much of a burden. It weighs on me all the time. I don't know what to do. I've got analysis to paralysis. Yeah, that's it. You've got that. I've got that. That's what I've got. I know. We overthink things all the time. It's not a question of dumbing it down. It's understanding the big picture and not looking at the minutia, not digging to find what you already believe. It's pointless. I've got more data that backs up why I believe. I'm ignoring all the other data, but I'm finding the data that says the world is coming to an end. Okay, there's a lot of that data out there. We wouldn't watch the news if it was like, yeah, you know, if things are rolling out there, folks. I hope you have a great evening. I'm going to. What else do we talk about here, Susie, here on the news? Oh, yeah. I see you got a new haircut. I like it. I like it a lot. It's just constant barrage of what's wrong and what's bad and why we're all going to die. No wonder we're over-informed. It's terrible. And when I think about this and I realize this is just so common amongst all of us that we're sure of all of the different things for the last 40 years. Because after playing golf with this guy, I moved to Boise and got into this industry over 40 years ago. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And for over 40 years, I've heard why you shouldn't take a cup of coffee a day, put it away, and have $1.1 million in 40 years doing nothing except owning the great corporations of the world. For over 40 years, I've heard people talk about it. Over 40 years. This isn't going to work. I've got a better idea. I know how to get rich. Buy GameStop or whatever it is. Some Bitcoin. Buy some gold. Build a bunker. All these things, all these years. It's not hard. And we overthink it. We either, A, want to get rich too quickly. B, just don't understand the markets and its simplicity. And most people, though, follow in this category, right? They just can't pull the trigger because they think they're supposed to time this thing or just get in at just the right moment, or they're just scared all the time because the news is always bad. And they're smart, so they're plugged in and they know what's going on in the world. It's sad. It really is. Because this is the easiest, hardest thing to do. Super easy. But people overthink it and make it very, very hard. All right, our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, thinking is really hard. It really is. It's not a natural process. And what I mean by that is to take a step back instead of just digesting the news in front of us, to think about it and actually entertain the opposite perspective. I like to say it's flipping the coin over and looking at the other side. Okay. It's heads. Well, what's the other side? What does it look like? It doesn't make the other side right. So if everybody's thinking, you know, if everybody's on the right-hand side of the boat, then you got to go to the left-hand side of the boat. It doesn't make all those people wrong. But it does make you stop and contemplate whether, or it should, whether all those people are caught up in herd mentality and may be wrong. Not running the opposite. Being a contrarian doesn't mean you just do the opposite of what people do. Not for contrary sake. Do the opposite if it gives you an edge, because maybe people have moved too far on a particular trade. And what I mean by that, and why it's hard to think, I think about this a lot. If we only see what we're looking for, you'll miss a lot. You'll miss an awful lot. You'll become an expert. Well, I mean, maybe even a flipping genius at what you already believe. Pointless. Absolutely pointless. Doesn't give you any insight to learn one more fact about what you already believe. So if we only see what we're looking for, you will miss a lot. And I think about this recently in our world to give you a real example instead of just some theoretical mumbo jumbo. Many experts attribute any move in the market. I mean, this has gone on for a decade, right? It's gone on since more than a decade. Any move in the market is attributed to more stimulus. More money. More Fed printing. All that. But let's just take it right even now. And you listen, if you listen to the babble, the constant babble of a CNBC. I mean, I can only take about 15 minutes in the morning if I'm, you know, sweating on a machine. I mean, that's... I can't do it. But when you listen, it's a constant babble, and all they ever talk about is the stimulus. And what we miss by that, I think, is the fact that we're reopening. It's like we're only fixated on whether more stimulus is coming and when. And that's all that drove the market. That's it. It wasn't the vaccines. No. Oh, no. It wasn't the fact that the world was going to reopen. Oh, no. It wasn't the fact that the restaurants were starting to be crowded. It wasn't the fact that people were going back to work. It wasn't the fact that the schools were reopening. Oh, no. It's all about stimulus. And we miss it. Because if it's about stimulus, then when the stimulus goes away, then there is no more there. And so all the smarty pants are out there thinking it through and realizing that the market moves forward and they're going to. And so really, in the reality is, if we're all about stimulus, they're dead wrong. They're just dead wrong. And it keeps many of us on the sidelines. Many of us. So when we're thinking about thinking, right, we don't want to get locked into or even think that the commentators' constant babble about something is even close. Think. We need to think. All right. You hear the news, the noise, the music. We have the news and hour number two upcoming. Hope you'll join us. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, it's hard to sell. It's really hard to sell. I'm often asked that question. How do you decide what to sell and when? And there's lots and lots and lots of theories out there. My hero, John Templeton, used to say, you don't sell until you have an idea that is twice as good. Meaning that you feel has twice the ability to go up as the one that you own. Why twice as good? Why not a little bit better? And you don't have to dig too far to understand that. You've been right, let's say, on one, and it's doing well. And now you're going to pay taxes. Oh, ouch. So I don't have to pay taxes if I just keep it. But maybe something fundamentally has changed. The growth isn't there anymore. It's slowed down. Even if you had something that maybe is up a lot. Very difficult. Very boxed in, if you will. Not so hard in an IRA, right? Who cares? Doesn't matter. Boom, off you go. There's no tax holding you back. But the other part of that really is this. It's not the tax. It's the fact that you're wrong a lot. You are. It's not as bad as baseball, right? You an all-star baseball player doesn't even make a hit one third of the time. Not the bat 300 is like, wow, all-star team. There you go. Bam. They're in. One third of the time, meaning more than two out of three times, they're out. They're out. That's pretty poor, but that's really great. Well, investing is not that bad, but you're not right all the time. And so if you make that shift from something that has worked and then gone to something that isn't working, you gotta be really pretty sure so that when you are wrong, because pretty sure and sometimes wrong is still true, that you have something that's twice as good. So that when you do that over time, you make up for the times you're wrong. You should have stayed with what you had. It's a hard thing. I also see people, myself included, that collect stocks, right? We collect them. I don't want to sell anything. I mean, I pay taxes. It's just fine. I get a little dividend. It's all good. And then you get a portfolio that has so much in it, you have to start setting rules like, if I buy something else, I got to sell something. You know what I mean? So there are other ways to work your way around that. But not changing, not moving is, in fact, easier than actually pulling the trigger and selling. So you do have to watch for certain things. And obviously, accounting things come to mind, screaming to mind. Okay? But before we get into the what triggers a sale and why you need to be on top of it, is that you really do need to understand this. Don't be overly active with it either. Most people are. So when we talk about, I'm talking about not the majority of people here. Most people just buy and sell on a whim. They don't, it's like a gambling game to them, okay? But I can't change that until they want to change. So I really don't really want to address it. I just didn't want to, you know, pretend it didn't exist. The amount of trading that goes on now compared to owning stocks years ago, like when I started, it's absurd. Even when you take out the computers that day trade, okay? So, you know, I've seen that. It's just because all the computers do so much trading. No, the average retail investor turns over their portfolio a lot more than they used to. I mean, by magnitudes, okay? People used to own companies. Now they have ticker symbols that they heard about on social media. Like, get this. There's two different companies called Zoom. We all know about Zoom the meeting, right? Ticker symbol ZM. Or we have Zoom, ticker symbol ZOOM, which really got driven to quite high prices, even though it's a nearly bankrupt company, because everybody knew that Zoom was a thing. That would be called not doing your homework, right? Or how about AMC Theaters, which became a meme stock? What does meme really mean anyway? I don't really know. I just know it's a thing, a meme stock. So it's a social media. Everybody's driving it up because, well, why not? Just get on the bandwagon and keep rolling here. So theaters are reopening. There's some news there, of course, blah, blah, blah. But this thing is being driven by social media. Now, there's another company out there called AMC Networks. Really quite different. Quite different. No ownership, no... Anyway, they did really well, too, because people did lots of homework, and they bought a company called Zoom or AMC. Okay, now that's silly. I know. But it's true. But if you're really tied in and you're doing your news, watching your stocks, paying attention, what do we look for? What are you looking for? It's not one thing. It's lots of things. Now, the market on a daily basis will take something down. Oh, that's below expectations. Kaboom! And it can take 5% off a stock or even 10 in a day. Because this high growth company appears to be slowing down. But are they? Is it a one-off thing? Is it a high quality company that maybe just had a bad quarter or a bad quarter accounting wise, meaning there's a lot of expenses going in, or they had something go bad and they had to make a settlement and blah, blah, blah. You know, who knows? There's lots of reasons why it could be a one quarter phenomena. But you see, companies like IBM, and I'm not saying they're not in the midst of a turnaround, but this has been a company that hasn't turned around, doesn't seem to be able to turn it around for years. It just lays there. But that's all right, because they're paying a big dividend and they're buying back stock and they're basically shrinking. And you can't shrink yourself to prosperity. Now, they're trying to reinvent. They've got new leadership, and then they've got new leadership again. And maybe somebody will find it. And they're trying to start up the cloud business. So don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing IBM for the future. I'm saying here's what the company did quarter after quarter after quarter to make it very obvious. This was not IBM. This was a company that was going down the toilet. And it's been doing that for a long time. So some of them are just like coming, coming, coming. And yeah, you didn't get to sell it at the highest price because it's coming, coming, and it's languishing. But you could have taken that, quotes, dead money, even if you made money on it, and moved it to do better things, like Apple. Or if you want to bet on a turnaround company, it seemed to be like Microsoft, which was heading the way of IBM, right? Was trying to reinvent itself, but then got new leadership and did. And they have been a rocket ship for the last 10 years. Second largest company in the world. And they were still stuck on the Windows model, licensing, all that stuff. But they reinvented themselves into cloud and all those other things, and it worked. Both could be seen over time. Not in the rearview mirror. It was obvious. So when you're looking for it, you want to see a trend, not necessarily a one time. Oh, that's it, I'm out. Traders do that. But if you've held a stock and you're asking this question, when do I sell? You're not a trader. You're an investor. Do you get the highest price? This is what the hard one is for me, right? Oh, I'll wait for a bounce. Maybe it's not going to. Maybe it's IBM. And so when you get your negative next quarter or whatever, or you're reading the research reports, and it's like, this is just, they're not in first place in anything anymore. They're second, fourth, eighth in the things they're doing. They're a Hewlett Packard here, man. This is Hewlett Packard. They're just spinning off companies and trying to figure out something, if you will, accounting-wise. They're not trying to grow a business. I want no part of that. And no, you're not going to get anywhere near the $120 that it once sold for in 1999. But you could have recognized that HP was not HP anymore. It was a non-innovating company. So for me, sometimes I have to say, look, you did okay on this. We didn't know where the top was. You never do. Quit it. And so that brings me to this next point, okay? When you're selling, you can't look back. Only if you're truly trying to learn lessons from it. What did I miss and that this thing turned into a rocket ship? What did I miss? What can I learn from that? But from the standpoint of looking back and regretting it, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Then it turned around and it did this. You can't. Investing is never perfect. You don't get the highest price when you sell. You don't get the lowest price when you buy. You don't get that. But there's lots of room in between. And if something has worked really well for you for a number of years, you've collected dividends and so on and so forth, and it's rode its way on up, and then it pulls back because things aren't the same. Things aren't the same. I use the Procter & Gamble example all the time. Great company. Greatest income story. Isn't that the greatest income story never told is Procter & Gamble? 1970, one penny per share per quarter. One penny per share per quarter in a dividend is over 70 cents today. Nothing is up 70 plus fold in income. Not the best apartment complex on Malibu Beach. Not the best penthouse in New York City. Nothing produces that kind of income 70 times, except a soap company that in 1970 was 100 years old already. It's a great story. But if I'm going to go buy the stock today or own the stock today, what do I think about Procter & Gamble's future? What's been happening? How is it growing? How are sales doing? Because it's such a global company. It's a distribution company is what it really is. How innovative and creative? What's their growth story? What's the story going forward? You know, a throw Tide in a little box, a cute box thing? Same thing, repackage it? Is that it? Because that doesn't sound like a growth story to me. And we look at their growth of their sales, and it's really dismal. We look at the income now relative to earnings, it's too much. There's not much margin for error to grow the dividends going forward. I'm not trying to diss Procter & Gamble, and if I owned it for since 1970, I sure as heck wouldn't be paying taxes on it. Because the dividend is like 150% a year or something, right? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Crazy amount. But the point I'm making is that companies change. And you can recognize them. Some are going to fall a lot if it's a high growth situation and scare you. But we always have to understand this. Selling is hard. Looking back just makes it more difficult. Investing is a game of probabilities and losses from time to time. Wrong decisions, if you will. Wrong buys. That one didn't work. I thought this was great. It just didn't work out. I thought GE was a turnaround company. It turned out that Jeffrey Immelt, maybe even Jack Welch, cooked the books, sucked the blood out of this company, and destroyed it. There was no there there. Now, are they a rebuilding company? Maybe they are. They most certainly won't be GE of the old days, for sure. A mistake. There's so many things you can't see there that we have to forgive ourselves to not know what the future is. But that's why there's such a big margin of error in this industry, and just owning the market. The market of the good, the bad, and the ugly has produced 10% returns for all of your life. And I always find it fascinating when I say that to think about all of you. I don't know how old you are. Some of you are 80. I know that. Some of you are 30. I know that. And all the in between. And the answer is it's always 10. Isn't that fascinating? But if we live in a world of laser beam focused now. I want to make my money now. What's GameStop doing? Should I buy some Bitcoin? All that. Sideshow, Bob. It's a sideshow. It's a sideshow to the owning the great corporations of the world, and that a cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. No matter what we want to talk about that's wrong and why we're all going to die. And it's all right. You live in your own head. I don't have to live there. But I am sad for folks like that. Because it seems like a really dark place to live. Is constantly in the dark. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Maybe you have some ideas on selling. But either way, I'd like to hear from you. Our board is clear. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Please ring us up. And also, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that is our number. Goodness gracious, I don't know that we've ever gone through a program without a phone call. So ring us up. There's got to be some questions out there. Goodness gracious. Hey, I ran into I get this every week. And I think it's important to talk about this and put it in the right context. This is not politically motivated. It's just data. Okay? This is just COVID data. And one of the things that obviously that it makes my heart hurt a lot and literally has killed thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, is that coronavirus became a political weapon. And so lots and lots of misinformation from whether it's Fauci and on down, all that. So we have all along, thank you to the First Trust people. I just have to say that because they just put out data. These are economists. That's what they are. Here's the numbers. I don't know who to trust because everybody's like, I'm a science. We're in the science, blah, blah, blah. You know, I heard somebody when I was in Seattle go, oh, yeah, I guess I observed that the mask wearing over at this park we went to that was a bit south of Seattle. It's like, okay. Oh, well, those people on the other side of the lake, they don't believe in the science. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Seriously.
Okay.
So the science is I should ride a bike with a mask. But anyway, the reason I bring this up is this. This is just data. A lot of this we've known for a long time, but there was a couple of new things I wanted to put in this twist as to why, with the reopening, we've been focusing on the reopening. Not the variants of the virus, because variants in virus are normal, okay? That's me. I'm not a scientist. And yeah, guess what? Viruses mutate. That's a constant thing. Constant thing. But it depends on where you're coming from to say, if I'm vaccinated or if I got it, I we're done. You know, I got the green card. But that's not what people did because that's not what the news reported. And here is some really interesting data along those lines. Okay. America's preferred advice for lifestyle during the pandemic. Okay. So in other words, what percent of people led normal lives as much as possible? Okay. Or which part of the people stay home as much as possible? Okay. Now, overall, 56% of the people kind of led normal lives as much as possible. So more than half, but just a little bit. 44% stayed at home. Lockdown. Here's where it gets interesting. 87% of Republicans led normal lives as much as possible. 13% is all that wanted to stay home. That's it. Of independents, and this is key, going forward too in elections, right? 64% led their lives as much as possible. Democrats, 71% stayed at home. Less than one third wanted to lead a normal life. And you don't think your inputs really matter, huh? Interesting. We really think we're above all the stuff that we digest. We really do. I mean, seriously, if you ask those people, you know what they'd say? It's the science. It's the science. It's the science. That's what they would say. I mean, and can you imagine sociologists with, oh my gosh. I mean, my dad walks in and he goes, what did you think of that? And I go, that was one of the best, you know, COVID trackers I've ever seen, but it was really, no, he meant, about this one right here? And he goes, I know, it was fascinating. Can you imagine? So why do you think that? And we had an interesting discussion. I'm not going to lead into that. You can make your own points about it. And of course, if you're a Republican, you can make fun of Democrats, but that's not the point of this. The point is you sit and watch TV and you fuss about it all day long, and then you think you've got more good information and you don't. You've got better analysis to paralysis to make sure you don't do anything and you can't see the big picture at all and you live in fear. Oh boy, turn that TV on, huh? Let's do it. All right, here's one more thing and then I got to go to a break. No, I'm going to save it because I want to take more time with it. It's interesting, but this is where we are globally with COVID now, and I think it's really important to understand. And why were we able to focus on the vaccines? Why were we able to focus on where we're going? What's going on? Because we're looking at data, not political data. We're just looking at data. It's important where you get your information, and it's important to flip that over and think about the other direction as well. All right. Our number, 580-KIDO. We'll take a quick break for Fox News, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. That's our number. Let's go ahead and jump on those phones. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Terry.
I figured this cell thing out a few years back. I just hired a smart young lady to tell me what she did.
On the cell phone, you mean?
On the selling of stocks.
Oh, yeah. That's good. There you go. Exactly. It is hard, though, isn't it, right? I mean, it's a really tough. I think it's the hardest thing. Buying things is easy. Selling
them is hard. Well, I still look back on all the fun I had learning and wish I would have kept 10 shares of every stock I ever owned.
Well, to a degree, that's true. But if you'd owned Ford and General Motors and a couple of the airlines, you might feel differently about that.
It's still dividend rolling in. Well, that's it. I've got a rather long, drawn-out story here about a perspective on this, though. Last year, I planted a row of carrots late in my planter box. They weren't big enough to pick at the end of the year, so I just let them go. And now they rolled over, and they grew, and they're 4 foot tall and flowering. And I'm hoping maybe they'll reseed themselves, and I'll have carrots in that planter box forever.
So you have turned yourself into a carrot seed grower.
Right. Well, or I sort of equate it to dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of thing. If sometimes if you let things be and be patient with it all, you'll get some benefits you never even thought you'd have.
You know, that's true. We do have to be careful, and you have to be diligent. The world is changing very rapidly. There's an estimate that one-third of the S&P will disappear every 10 years now. That's how fast things are changing. Now, it doesn't mean those companies necessarily go bankrupt. Some do, but others will be taken over because they're not doing anything. But the point there is leaving them alone sometimes and letting things work out. I had a client newish client came to me, and we put together it's been good timing and a beautiful portfolio, but this person really didn't understand that we don't need to worry about each individual holding. And there was a couple of things in there. It's like, well, how can we own that? It's not doing any good. I'm like, wow, talk about focusing on what's not working, right? As if everything will always be working out. But here's the point. He really, really didn't like a couple of them. I mean, it's just really bugged him. And it's finally like, look, I can get rid of them. That's fine if it really bugs you. And it couldn't have been more perfect timing to mark the bottom in those stocks. We have to be patient. And so you bring up a very good point with that. You have to be patient. If it's a quality company, it doesn't mean it goes up every day. It doesn't mean it goes up as much as the market. It can be resting for a while, and then it has its run that does better than the market. Who knows? But yep. The point is that you do have to have patience, absolutely, but you have to stay on top of it. And patience shouldn't be forever, or you end up owning GE from $60 a share down into the single digits. And, yeah, we've had a whopping rebound, and they cut their dividend.
Yeah, well, I still go back to your references to Sir John Templeton. What is it, 40%? If you have 40% winners, you've had a wonderful portfolio.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. But it's actually, and he put it this way, if you're right 65% of the time, you're legendary. Now, that doesn't mean they're great performers. It just means you haven't destroyed capital.
Right. Well, then you go back to Mises and all those guys that are Hayek, creative destruction is a good thing too. So
it's good for everybody, and that's what's often missed. And that's what I miss about education is this whole idea that capitalism somehow is a winners and losers proposition. It's not. It's all winners, and it's winners particularly on the bottom level. Even though they're not in business, they don't understand all of the things that they walk around with, like a cell phone, is because companies like Nokia are gone with their crappy Blackberries and things like that, that were hard to use. That's creative destruction. We have great technology. We used this week, Biogen came out with, after spending billions, and collectively tens or hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent by the entire world of pharmaceuticals and biotech to try to help Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. We finally had a breakthrough last week. This should be dancing in the streets, really. This has been a tough nut for them to crack, and it looks like they've got a crack in that, and that should lead to more therapies on something that is beyond devastating. We all have nightmares about sitting around not knowing who we are. And maybe even doing strange things when we're old, right?
Well, I heard a quick blurb news article on that one, that half of their board quit because they didn't like the way they went about it. But I'm trying to decide if it was from their wokeness or what the heck. Even if I have cancer and you've got it, they say I'm terminal. Then I want anything.
Yeah.
It might not be 100%. Give me a shot at it and give me a shot at living.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? It's not going to happen by any other circumstance except God's intervention, and he can intervene whether you try a treatment or not. So
yep, there's risk in everything, darn it.
Yep, there is. There is. Terry, I got to roll, but thank you very much for your
call. All right, sir. Take care.
You have a great day.
All right. Bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Bill and Sunny Slope, let's do this. I'm going to leave plenty of time. Let's go ahead and get our final break out of the way, and we'll come right back to you. And we'll have plenty of time also if you want to ring us up at 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Rolling into our final segment. My gosh, this has been a fast day. It really has. So much going on, and I know, so much going on in my head. There is. It's a lot in there. Not a lot of good things, but it's bouncing around pretty highly today. I appreciate you putting up with it. I have enjoyed today very much. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to the phones. Bill, thank you for hanging on in beautiful Sunny Slope.
Yeah, I sure did. Had to go through another commercial, but that's okay. I hung on.
Good for you.
And my question is, a couple of segments ago, you mentioned you would have to pay tax on, withdrawals out from your account, unless it was an IRA. Did I hear that right? Because an
no.
IRA is a qualified account.
Yeah.
And so I always take 20% and 10%. Withdrawal,
yeah, 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 Bill. No, it's you misheard. It's what I was saying is, if you're trading or buying and selling stocks, it doesn't matter in an IRA, because there's no capital gains in an IRA. All money that comes out is ordinary income when it comes out. But any trading you do within an IRA does not generate any tax treatment. It does on your non-qualified plans. So if I own a stock like Apple, which is up 28-fold, that's a huge gain, obviously. If I sell it, I have a lot of capital gains to pay. And I do have to do that because it's not in my IRA. Now, I have some in my IRA that gets to, I could trade it and go on to something else. So I do think that taxes have a huge, you have to factor them in. I just don't want the tax tail to wag the dog either.
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing. And I think that's one thing that puts a big stop on people selling, because you're thinking about mm-hmm. those taxes.
And you should think about them. It just shouldn't stop
yeah.
you. It's part of the equation, right? It's part of the reason that, as I mentioned, John Templeton saying, you have to feel twice, like this particular company is twice as good, has twice the outlook of the one you're selling, so that not only you can cover up when you're wrong, but you can cover those taxes too. But you're right about that too, Bill. You bring up an interesting point, because this is a point of debate right now, and why I really, in the end, don't think we're going to be anywhere near a 43% capital gains tax, because it's off the chart dumb. It's just punitive. It won't raise revenue because people won't sell. So it's just a punitive tax, and the only thing it's going to do is stop that business owner from selling and retiring, and then it'll stop the economy from growing, because that young guy that wants to buy it and then take it to the next level, employing 10 more people, isn't going to be able to do that, because the guy isn't going to lose half his money to the idiots in Washington, D.C. And as far as selling stocks, forget about it. Who's going to sell a capital gain stock at losing half of their money? They're not going to. And by the way, 43% is only on the federal side. You add 7% state of Idaho, so you think I'm rounding up to 50%? I'm not. It's 50%. And that's the kind of thing that is just so punitive and sad, because somebody could run a business, just a moderate, I made an okay living, no big deal, didn't get rich, but I'm ready to retire, and now we're going to have that person taxed as if they were a billionaire. It's insane, and it really will hurt the economy, and even liberals know it.
Yeah. Hey, I got neighbors on both sides of me cutting their lawns, so it sounds pretty noisy. Thanks, Dave.
Bill,
appreciate
thank
it.
You. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful day in Sunny Slope.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now.
And our number is 580-KIDO. We do have some time left if you choose to give us a quick call, okay? All right. So I wanted to – I'm going to fire all the way back to – I had one more thing I wanted to talk about with the COVID data and why the world is opening up, okay? And why the science is gone. Donald Trump is not the president of the United States anymore. So we now have a virus that is actually not political. Weird. So super weird. We actually are getting science to be science. Now, it hasn't changed on TV. It hasn't changed there at all. Or as I pointed out before, in case you didn't hear it, Republicans want to live their life as much as possible normally. Democrats want to stay at home. That's just weird. That is just super weird, don't you think? I mean, I know. So we're talking about the data here. And I just wanted to talk about why and what's happened and why why just getting data and not having it through a political lens is super critically important. Now, this is not a lesson in why we've been right. This is a lesson of how and what you should be making sure your inputs are. Not more of what you already agree with, but data. So thanks again to the First Trust people who put this out every single week for the past year. It's where we understood that you couldn't get the virus. You could, but it wasn't a problem. You weren't sitting in a death place to get on an airplane. Why you couldn't get it off of a surface. I suppose if somebody came in and spit, you quickly wiped your hand on it and licked your hand. That was there. I don't know. I don't even know then you could, because it's an airborne thing. This has been known for a year. But unless you got this kind of data, you didn't know that. You didn't know that. You didn't even know, because the CDC and everybody else was, they might have released information on this, but the press, it didn't fit the narrative, we got to get rid of Donald Trump. It didn't fit. It didn't fit at all. So the fact that we're working towards vaccines at a record pace, oh yeah, now that's a world-opening event. No kidding. But it's been going on. We've talked about it for a year and running through all of the trials at record pace. Here's something that is super important. Whether you live in, okay, New York's a, you know, New York just killed people like crazy. It's, they did. They're off the charts. They're the kill zone for the world. I think they do worse than Bangladesh. They killed per million people far more than the UK, the United States, any state in the United States. It's not even close. Not even close. But what is really, this is why you're talking about in a political sense. We talked a lot about Sweden. Why? Because Sweden didn't close. Sweden didn't lock down. Sweden educated their kids. They went about their lives. They protected the elderly as best they could. And by their own admission, they did a bad job initially. So as we look at Sweden's per million, in the end, it's lower than the United States. And California, they didn't decide to kill everybody in a nursing home, but man, were they in lockdown. And they're doing the science. they're no better off than Florida, Texas, the United States in general, even Europe. The science is coming out. Let's quickly grab a call. Steve, sorry, I've got about 1 minute.
Okay, a two-part question. As 70 years old, I was thinking about moving some money from the IRA to a Roth IRA. Is that feasible? And number two is how do I calculate how much I can move without paying tax? I get Social Security, and so how would I calculate how much I can move without paying any tax?
Good questions. Great questions. First of all, it's an okay idea. You don't have to do it all at once, and we want to figure out what that amount is, the right amount. Even if it's a low tax bracket, it might make sense, but there's a number of things that go into the equation. I don't have enough time to go in detail with a lot of them, but let me just say it's a number of things. A, go to a tax calculator. They're all online. You know what your income was last year. Just add in X amount, right? So you take your tax return from last year, and now let's start playing with numbers. $10,000 added on. What does that look like tax-wise? And you do have to be careful because Social Security tax could jump up as well. And so it might actually have a high marginal tax bracket. You probably should get some advice regarding that. So it's not all or none, but you definitely need to look at what the right number is. Okay, Steve? Let's talk some more about it next week. Thank you so much. Hey, absolutely. We're out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.